All right. Well, it's good to see all of you here today. I really appreciate you being here with us. I want to say, first of all, that Vicki and I have been weeping because we missed Deborah. We found out that Deborah had gone home to be with the Lord. It was very difficult for us, and we miss her. And we're not going to get to hear her amens anymore, at least on this side of eternity. One day we will. But, you know, used to every time when we finished it, of course, she would say amen a lot. And then when we finished, she was always sitting there saying, come back, come back. And we said, oh, we will if the Lord lets us. So it's just, I mean, she was just so, so sweet. And, of course, she had some terrible injuries. But she was such a beautiful example of a follower of Christ. I mean, her heart, just Jesus just shined through her brightly. And she was such a blessing to her, to us, every time we came. And we're sorrowing, but we loved her to death, but we're not sorrowing as those with no hope. We know there's coming a day when we'll be reunited. We know there's coming a great resurrection. We're going to have new bodies. Aren't you excited about that? Vicki's already talked about that a little bit. I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait to hug her neck again. It's going to be a great day. Yeah, she'll be dancing. Oh, me. But for the time being, God's left us here, right? Here we are. And that He wants us to have fellowship with Him, though, right here, right now, in His Word. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 4 again for just a few minutes today. Let me say this first. A few weeks ago, we had a holiday for lovers. You know what I'm talking about? Valentine's Day? Yeah, a few weeks ago, we had Valentine's Day. I don't know if any of you celebrate that or not. There's a legend about Valentine's Day. And it's supposed to be how Valentine's Day got started. I don't really think it's true. I think it's just a story somebody made up. But it's kind of a neat story, and it does communicate something important. Supposedly, according to this legend, there was a young Christian whose name was Valentine. And he was imprisoned, according to this story, in ancient Rome because of his faith in Christ. He was a Christian. And he knew how important it was to stay as close-knit as he could to other believers during that time, especially during persecution. And he knew the importance of prayer support. He knew the importance of expressions of love. And there was a little window kind of high, just a little tiny window near his cell, in his cell. And supposedly there was a tree outside that had heart-shaped leaves. And those leaves would fall down there near the edge of his, on that window. And he could reach out and get some of those leaves. And he took a little finger or something, and he made little holes in the leaves to spell out words. And then he'd put them back out there, and it would be like words like, please remember your Valentine, or I love you, and little messages. Now, like I said, I don't think that's a true story, but that tradition really does communicate something important, and that is, especially during times of difficulty, especially during times of persecution and hardship and trouble, it's so important for us to be knit together really tightly in love. There's no substitute for that bonding and binding together in love that God wants us to have, especially during that time. Now, obviously, it's important all the time, no matter whether we're suffering or not. It's important for us to be bound together in Christ in love. There's a song we used to sing, "We're One in the Bonds of Love." Y'all remember that song? We used to sing it all the time. Haven't sung it in a long time. But when trouble comes to a nation, to a people, to a family, or to us just individually, it's really important that we be bound together in love. And usually when trouble comes, people react one of two ways, one of two extremes. We either do things that will bind us more closely than ever together, we're going to talk about that today, or we do things that tend to drive us apart and separate us. You know, we can do that too. For example, when things go wrong for us, if we find ourselves just full of self-pity, we can do that. You know, we get focused on ourselves, and we feel sorry for ourselves, and maybe we start blaming other people for our problems, and maybe we get a little bitter and resentful. That kind of stuff just tends to drive people away, and it tends to separate us. We're just focused on ourselves. And God wants us to be different. He wants that kind of suffering to bind us together, to bring us together. And if it does, we're going to have to learn to respond to it in the right way. Well, remember, these Christians that Peter's writing to, we've talked about them before, they were going through tough times. They were being persecuted. They'd had to flee from their homes. We've seen that before. And today we're going to look at verses 7 through 11 of chapter 4. We're actually just going to focus mainly on one verse. And we're going to find God giving us some instructions here for how we can be bound closer together during the tough times. Now, like I said, the truth is this is for all times. Don't wait for this for the tough times. But if you're in the tough times now, it's especially important. Regardless of the level of adversity, though, it's important. We're living in America right now, and the year's 2016. Isn't that hard to believe? 2016 just sounds all futuristic to me. But it's more important than ever for us to be bound together in love, for us Christians, because these are dark days for our country. I don't know how much you're watching the news and staying in touch with the news, but it's pretty dark. It's pretty bad. And we need to be bound together closer than ever. Now, having said that, I need to say that we have brothers and sisters in Christ around the world in places where it's far, far darker, far, far worse. And we have brothers and sisters today even being killed for their faith in Christ. And many of them fleeing their homes and fleeing their cities because their lives are threatened because of just because they're Christians. And it's a very sad time for them. We need to remember to pray for them. But I want us to look at God's Word here and learn what we need to learn to be bound together in those cords of love during tough times. But before we read it, let's pray. Father, we thank You that we're about to read Your Word. And Lord, every time we read Your Word, we want to take it very, very seriously and realize what we're doing. First of all, we are so thankful that You've given us Your Word. Lord, how messed up we would be and how confused we'd be, how lost we would be if You did not give us Your Word. And thank You that You've given us Your Word, the Bible, and You've preserved it for us through the centuries, and we can read it today and let You speak to us through these words. So help us to be teachable. Help us to listen to what You have to say. I pray that we would learn what it means to be bound together in love a little bit more today, and that we'd practice this a little bit more. And before we stop this prayer, Lord, we want to especially pray for our brothers and sisters who are going through really, really, really tough times in this country, but especially in other places where they're suffering and dying and fleeing persecution. So please be merciful to them. Please draw them close to You. Please grant them protection. Please grant them peace. Please even grant them favor in the eyes of those who are doing all that bad stuff and change those hearts. And we pray You'd bind Satan and his demons as they try to work against Your people. Lord, help us, though, to keep our eyes on You, whether we're suffering or not. We know that many times You intend for us to suffer, and You have a purpose in it. We've learned that before in our studies here. But Lord, help us during those times especially to keep our eyes on You and to learn how to love and how to behave as Christ followers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what He says in verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. We're going to focus on that, but let's read the rest of it. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, I think I see here four keys, or ties, if you want to say it that way, that bind us together. Four ties that tie us together and bind us together in these five verses. One of them is prayer. That's in verse 7. That's what we're going to talk about today. The second one is love. We see that in verse 8. The third one is hospitality. That's in verse 9. And the last one is spiritual gifts. That was in verse 10 and 11. And I guess if we wanted to, we could say, well, there are really just two. There's prayer and there's love, and then under love we could put hospitality and the spiritual gifts. It doesn't matter either way it works. So eventually, Lord willing, we're going to come back and look briefly at all of these things. But today I want us to focus on the first one that binds us together, and that's prayer. It's in verse 7. So He says, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Now, I know that all of us are very much aware, I'm sure you are, that in God's Word there are many, many commands for us to pray. Many of them. It's one of the commands that just appears most frequently in the Bible, over and over and over. He says, pray, pray, pray. For example, pray without ceasing. That's one of the famous ones. You probably remember that. not just commands to pray, but promises about prayer and truths about prayer. God's Word is full of it. Listen to this one. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Awesome verse. Or how about this one? I desire that in every place men should pray, lifting up holy hands, without anger or quarreling. Here's another one. He, speaking about Jesus, He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Here's one regarding spiritual warfare, Ephesians chapter 6. He says we ought to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Supplication for all the saints. Here's one, Matthew chapter 9. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. We need to be praying for that. It's a command. Another one, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Here's another one. Whatever you ask in prayer, you'll receive if you have faith. Here's another one. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant. Be constant in prayer. Here's another one. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. Over and over and over, God drives us home. Pray, 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 pray. Don't quit praying. But interestingly, here in verse 7 that I just read, while God makes it clear His expectation is that His children will be praying, the command here is not to pray. Did you notice that? The command is to be self-controlled and to be sober-minded. To be self-controlled and to be sober-minded for the purpose of prayer. Now, what He's doing here is telling us something about the way we need to be praying. Prayer, I think you'll agree with me here about all of this, but prayer is certainly one of the fundamental disciplines of the Christian life. And yet, in many ways, it's one of the most neglected disciplines in the Christian life. And I'm kind of underlining the word discipline there in my mind. I don't mean that we don't do it. I bet every one of you pray. Some, at least. We all probably, most Christians at least, pray some. Most of us pray before we eat. We thank God for our food. That's a good thing. Many of us kind of pray through the day when special needs come to our attention. We say, Lord, would you please take care of this? Or Lord, would you please help this person? And that's good. Those are very important ways to pray. We don't ever want to stop that. But sometimes our praying gets to be kind of hit or miss. You know what I mean? Sort of uncontrolled. It isn't self-controlled. It isn't sober-minded. It's just maybe it happens and maybe it doesn't. And sometimes I'm convinced, stay with me here, that because most of the answers to our prayers are long-range, I don't know how much you've thought about that, but most of the answers to our prayers are long-range. Most of the things we pray about require a time of waiting on the Lord. You've discovered that. I'm sure you have. At our ages, we've learned this. We have to wait on the Lord. And I'm afraid a lot of Christians haven't developed the kind of discipline we need when it comes to persevering in prayer. Just keep on praying, knowing that the results are long range, knowing that we're waiting on the Lord for the Lord's timing. That's so important. So we've lost some of the discipline sometimes because of that. And sometimes it's just difficult for us to do the kind of intensive, disciplined, spiritual warfare praying that's going to bring long-range results. But that's what God's put us here to do. One of the things. So here in verse 7, He assumes we know we need to pray, and He says, this is how you're supposed to pray. Some translations use the word soberly and sound judgment, but the Greek words mean what I read earlier, sober mind, self-control. It implies our emotions are in control. We're calm, we're collected, we're confident in the Lord. Doesn't mean we don't cry. Of course we cry. Doesn't mean we don't laugh. We have emotions, but they're in control. It's really tempting when Christians get under pressure, for some of us anyway, and these Christians were under pressure, it's tempting to lose control. We can get frantic. We can get hysterical. We can panic. We can go crazy. You know, we can get into some emotional responses that are not healthy, that are not good. God's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. He just wants us to remember He's in control. And when we know He's in control, it will help us not give in to the panic. We just have to remember that. Do you remember 1 Corinthians 10:13? It's part of God's Word. And I believe it's true. And I'm sure you believe it's true. Here's what it says. There is no testing taken you, but such as is common to men. Whatever you're going through, others are going through too. There's no testing taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tested above what you're able to bear. He knows what you can handle. He says, I won't give you any more than what you can handle. I promise. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above what you're able to bear. And then he says, but will, with the testing, provide the way to escape that you might be able to bear it. He provides the way to escape. And that's an awesome verse. And it gives a lot of confidence in God. It gives an inner peace when you're going through the tough times. Calmness to face situations that other people might be panicking in. So, if we find ourselves going to the Lord, which we need to, we must, He commands it, to get His direction, and to get His strength, and to get His peace, for whatever the hour requires, for whatever the time of testing demands, then He'll give it to us, and we can have His calmness. Not only that, but the command here to have self-control for the purpose of prayer implies discipline. You hear the word discipline there? We need to be fully aware to the fact we've got an enemy, right? His name's the devil, Satan. He's got demons. And he will go to any length. He will go to any length to keep us from praying. Try to keep us away from communion with God. How does he do it? Well, he may use our friends. He may use our family. In some cases, he may use our jobs, or our hobbies, or our desire to eat, or our desire to watch TV, or our desire to sleep, or our desire to rest. He can use all of that stuff. Is there anything wrong with those things? Of course not. But if they keep us from praying, if we never get around to the discipline praying we need to do because of all this stuff, there's a problem. And Satan would love to use anything he can to keep us so preoccupied that we won't do this kind of disciplined praying. And I'm just afraid that in the lives of many Christians, Satan's beating them up. And they're not really fighting it. They're not really using that discipline when it comes to praying. And you think about it, there's really no excuse for that. You know what? Jesus has already won the victory, right? I mean, he won the victory where? On the cross, right? He's already defeated Satan. He's already done the heavy lifting. He's done the what we might call excruciating. Are you familiar with that word? The excruciating work. Do you know where the word excruciating comes from? It's literally out of the cross or out of crucifixion. We think of excruciating pain, excruciating problems. Well, Jesus defined that when he was on the cross. It was excruciating, but he did it for us. And he won the war against Satan. And then when he rose from the dead, he said, I'm giving you the spoils. All you have to do is go in and claim it. I've won. I've won the victory. But too often, we're not disciplined enough to do it. And it's as if a mighty warrior came in and conquered a city for us. And he said, okay, they're conquered. The enemy's gone. Go in and take the spoils. And even though the victory's been done, we don't bother to go in. We just don't. We've got other things. We're preoccupied. It's kind of sad and it's kind of amazing. And I'm wondering if one day many of us are going to wake up and realize, why on earth did I not learn how to be sober and self-disciplined for the purpose of prayer like he commands me to here? There's another implication of these words, self-control and sober-minded. It implies a mind that's alert and awake. As much as we can be, as much as God gives us the ability to be alert and awake, to be alert and awake. Effective praying, listen, effective praying is not easy. It's hard work. It's part of our spiritual warfare. And if I'm fuzzy-minded and sleepy, I'm not going to get the job done as well as I can if when I'm alert. I want to be as alert as I can. So, for example, if I've had a long day, and I'm tired, and I'm sleepy, and I sort of fall into bed thinking, oh, I probably ought to pray a little bit. Lord, I'm so tired. I don't feel like praying. You know what my needs are. I'm sure you understand. I just kind of fall asleep. Well, that's okay, I guess, to a certain extent. It's better to fall asleep talking to the Lord than fall asleep not talking to the Lord, I guess. Any kind of praying is good. But I think you'll agree, it's not what we call heavy-duty spiritual warfare praying. It's not the most effective kind of praying. For that, we have to be alert. And God wants some prayer warriors. Have you heard that term? Prayer warriors. Not just dabblers in prayer. Prayer warriors, where we take it very seriously and we discipline ourselves. I think when Peter wrote these words, I'm just guessing here, but I'm guessing that when he wrote this, of course, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's writing down what God tells him to write down. But I bet you that he was having some memories that were kind of sad to him. Do you remember when Jesus was in Gethsemane and the disciples were standing outside? You remember what he told them? He said, I want you to pray now. Stay awake and pray, lest you be tempted, lest you fall into temptation. And you know what they did, right? Including Peter? They fell asleep. They fell asleep. And I think Peter's probably remember that, and he thinks, oh man, I wish I had been disciplined at that point to pray. And I know all our lives are different. We've got very different lives. All our schedules are different. We've got to ask God for wisdom how to do this. I mean, He's got a different plan for every one of us. So I'm not telling you you have to do it my way. For some people, the answer is to go to bed earlier so we can get up earlier and start the day with prayer while our minds are fresh, or figure out a way early in the morning while our minds are still fresh after we've been asleep where we can talk to the Lord and get serious about our talking with the Lord. And not only that, but for me, personally, it's hard for me to remember everything that I need to pray for. Now, I know that sometimes we don't have any choice. We just have to trust our memories. That's all we got. And so we ask the Lord, bring to mind things that I need to pray for, Lord. Please help me remember what I need to pray for. But for some of us, it may mean keeping a prayer list. Having somebody make a prayer list for us. To maybe tell somebody, would you please put these things on my prayer list? Because I want to look at that and remember how to pray. Nowadays, we've got smartphones that have prayer apps. I've got one called PrayerMate. Man, it's revolutionized my life. But we need a way to remember what we need to be praying for. And we need to be using some discipline to pray these things. He says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. So why don't we ask God right now to help us do that? Father, You put this in Your Word. It's not our word. It's not Peter's word, ultimately. It's Your word. You inspired Peter to put this down for us. And You told us that we needed to be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of prayer. So, Lord, would You help us do that? Would You help us be real, serious, spiritual warriors? Prayer warriors. Would You help us, Father, to take this more seriously than ever before and not just pray in a hit-or-miss fashion, but to be self-disciplined and to think and to use our energy and to use our brain power that You've given us, what little we may have left, Lord. Some of us, we don't think very well now, Lord, but You can still help us and use us to pray as effectively as we possibly can to intercede for our brothers and sisters here and around the world, knowing that You're going to bind us together in love as we pray for one another in a disciplined, powerful, self-controlled, sober-minded way. So would You please teach us how to pray and help us to take it more seriously than ever before and give You glory through our prayer lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.